Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from Car Talk Plaza, of all places.
Well, it's about time.
And we are here to issue a warning. Beware.
Beware of what? What are you talking about?
Don't you know what time of year this is?
Yeah,
haven't you ever heard
spring.
Of the famous Roman mechanics, Ernest and Julius Caesar?
Yes, what about them?
Don't you remember the famous warning they received? Beware the idols of March? It's a terrible time to do tune-ups.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I mean, it's not exactly the Idols of March, but it's close enough, you know.
Yes, it is.
Get the
close.
Idea. And I know
Idols
you have...
of March. We have the business idea of the decade.
Really?
Thanks to a bunch of people whose names I can't read, fortunately, so they will not have to be our partners.
Right.
But it looks like Blair, Louise, and Dawn MacGyver. I don't know what it means.
Huey, Louie, what?
Okay. Huey, Louie, and Dewey. As we've been sitting around talking, one topic keeps coming up. This is interesting. The prevalence of ads for men's perfume in women's magazines.
Uh-huh.
Not aftershave, not cologne, perfume.
Perfume.
We noticed that they're not advertised in men's magazines because men are too smart to buy the stuff. Women are assumed to be bigger pushovers concerning useless junk. I'm reading a letter now. I don't want any nasty mail from here.
But you agree with it wholeheartedly, I
do,
can tell.
Have you ever smelled this stuff? Either it smells, A, very feminine and flowery, or two, rank. One we sniff tested smells exactly like a saddle that's been ridden on for 3 days. Here's where you guys come in. We have an idea in the male perfume line that we need to run by a couple of real masculine, that's us, man, garage mechanic types. We could earn a lot of money in this, but we need really manly advice first, and we'll cut you in on the deal if it goes through.
I'm ready.
This was the question. What does a real man smell like? After rejecting all scents already promoted as perfumes, we sat back and said, sweat? No. Flowers? No. Chemicals? Of course not. Then we had it. A real sexy man smells like WD-40. A man smelling like WD-40 walks into a room and all the women think, now here is a real man. A man who knows how to fix things. And maybe even could pick up after himself a little bit too. What a turn on. The easy thing is that WD-40 is already manufactured.
And it's already in an aerosol can.
It's already in an aerosol can and it has that handy long red nozzle doohickey for those hard to reach spots.
Oh, yeah, the little tube that comes out.
Are you ready? The whole letter was just for that one last line.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jennifer from Tallahassee, Florida.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Not bad. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a Daihatsu Charade or Charade.
Charade. I like Charade.
Well, I think Charade's actually the correct pronunciation.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so erudite, you know. We
played charades the other night at the party that I was at.
Is that what we did when we took our clothes off? I'm sorry, Jennifer. So you have an 89 Charade.
That's right. And recently we heard a real loud thumping, like a knocking. So we took it into our mechanics, and I guess I should tell you a little bit about our mechanics. it's a little shop kind of out in the woods, and it's run by two or three hippies. And we love the place. We trust them. They're totally honest, and they would never try to take your money. It's about the most laid back mechanics I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I can picture it.
Yeah.
I see it. Is the place a little messy?
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The smell of patchouli?
Yes, and they specialize in VWs.
Sure.
Volkswagens, yes.
I got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, microbuses especially, with the peace signs on them and the McGovern bumper stickers.
Hey, you've been there.
Yes.
But they're really great, and we trust them. They're very honest. But we went in, and the car was knocking pretty loudly, and they told us it was the CV joint. And they told us that they could just replace the boots and that it would be okay. So they replaced the boots.
But the knocking didn't go away.
But, hey, yes, the knocking didn't go away. So we went back and we said, hey, the knocking didn't go away.
When does it make the noise?
It makes the noise every time we turn, unless it's a very, very wide turn, or if we're going very slowly.
Okay, so every time you for example, if you were to exit a highway, you would get a as you
made
the turn?
Yeah, or even actually at 20 miles an hour if the turn is sharp enough.
And a 90-degree turn on a city street would be sufficient?
Oh, yes. A bigger angle than 90 degrees would do it.
Uh-huh.
It has to be a very, very wide turn, and it has to be very, very
like
slow.
178
degrees. 178 will do it, yeah.
Perhaps then it wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, I would say that you probably are in danger of having the CV joint break.
Yeah, once it starts to make noise, then, I mean, the boot... That, because the boot was broken, that's what caused it probably to make noise.
Right.
But by the time it started making noise, it was in trouble. So you can't just, like, put a Band-Aid on it, which is essentially what they did with the boot.
Right.
You got to replace it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I've never even seen a charade.
You haven't?
No, I will confess.
I can't believe it.
I've never seen one.
Well, yeah. It has three cylinders, and it looks a little bit like a golf cart.
Yeah, they're not terribly popular.
Well, I can't believe that.
Well,
we just love ours.
Do you?
Well, we really do. It's aesthetically, it's pleasing, and it runs well.
And you drive this around the hot, steamy South without air conditioning?
It has air conditioning.
It does?
It does.
No kidding.
It does. The compressor must be as big as the engine.
No kidding. Those three cylinders run the air conditioning, huh?
Yeah, and you know...
You can't drive the car when the air conditioning's on.
Well, you know why it works? Because Tallahassee has no hills.
It doesn't.
Does it?
It's got some. Well, see, I'm from South Florida, so these are hills.
Well,
Florida in general doesn't have hills.
In any event, Jennifer, get it replaced.
Is it dangerous?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
No, it isn't dangerous.
It's not dangerous that you're going to die, but it's dangerous that it would be dangerous if you were going, if you're taking a nice left turn across a highway and a semi is bearing down on you and the CV joint breaks, in which case the car stops and the semi goes right over you, doesn't even notice. It's like a little pebble in the road because the car is so small. And I guess that would be called dangerous.
That's dangerous.
So do it.
Right, and as he goes over you and looks in the rearview mirror, he says, must have been a charade I ran over.
Right, a mirage.
Yeah, get it fixed. It's going to break any day.
Okay.
And tell these guys to stop sniffing glue and fix the joint for
fix
you.
Fix cars.
Okay.
Good luck, Jennifer.
Good luck, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is UC Light from San Diego, California.
Who?
UC Light.
UC Light.
UC.
Right.
UC.
Now
we're with you. We're slow. We're very slow. What's your real name, UC?
It's UC.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
Your parents named you that?
Yes, they did.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What is the national origin of that name?
Finlandish, I think.
Finlandish.
I was named after a guy from Finland.
So. Well, right next to Finland is Outland, and names from there are outlandish.
What's up?
I called in response to a couple shows back when you were giving some advice to somebody who wanted to know how to, I think, clean their car. And you advised a regimen of Dawn dish detergent or some other
you
kind
know,
of...
You know, just the other day, it was the kid who was assigned by his parents to wash their car, and he couldn't get the spots off the glass.
Oh, yeah.
And it came to me...
Oh, right.
And it came to me the other day that we gave him the wrong advice.
Very much so.
Because what's causing the spotting is minerals in the water.
Right.
He's got lousy water wherever it was that he lived. He needs to wash the car with bottled water.
Evian
it's the minerals.
Good.
It's the minerals in the water that are causing the spotting. And he can scrape them off with a razor blade if he wanted to, or put a water softener gizmo.
No.
No,
what? That's why I called you guys, man.
Okay, man. Fill us in.
I am one of a phenomena in Southern California known as a mobile auto detailer. I go around in my pickup truck with deionized water.
Deionized?
Yes. from Culligan. I don't know if I can say that on...
Oh, Culligan.
Oh, sure. Everyone Culligan? Knows Culligan, man. Everyone knows them.
Okay.
Yeah, the water purification guys.
There you go.
They make those filters that sit on your sink and underneath it, reverse osmosis and all that stuff. Yeah,
maybe they'll give me a month of free service for the plug.
And so you, too, have noticed in San Diego that if you use tap water, you get these spots all over the window.
I've ruined a few cars using tap water on black cars in the sun.
Oh, you'll never get get it out either unless you compound it.
Yeah, but the thing to do on glass is 4-0 steel wool.
4-0, really?
4-0 steel wool. You can polish glass and chrome without scratching it. Removes
that steel
just
wool
anything.
With 4-0s on the package. That is
correct.
That is among the finest grade of steel wool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it on paint at all.
No.
Gee, we're forever indebted to you for this information. My brother came to the conclusion himself, but the idea of the stuff there, what's it called?
Steel wool.
Steel wool. Brillo
pads.
Make
sure it's 4-0 because you can scratch glass.
Sure.
So when you wash the cars, you wash them with deionized water?
Yeah.
If we didn't have one of these Culligan devices, would Perrier or Evian water be all right?
No, you have to use distilled.
Yeah, distilled.
Oh, it's got to be distilled.
Yeah, it's going to taste pretty bad, actually.
So just because it's Evian or Perrier would not do
No,
it.
In fact, those are even worse. What are they called?
Mineral water. So that would be worse.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to see out the window.
No kidding.
Be all in cloud. It'd be like driving in the clouds. Yussi, thanks so much. We are indebted to you.
Well, great.
Thanks for calling, man.
You got it.
Take it easy.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heather. I'm calling from Morenci, Michigan. And I have a 99 Jeep Cherokee that makes this popping noise when I go over like a big pothole or hit a rough railroad track.
A hopping noise?
Popping.
Popping in the dashboard. The dashboard like pops. It's just a real, it's a fast, quick pop. But it seems like it's within the plastic.
Can you make the sound?
Well, what makes you think it's within the plastic?
Well, it sounds like plastic breaking. Here, I have a little thing here. It sort of sounds like this. Did you hear that?
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Is it that loud?
In the car, it's pretty loud, you know, because it's, you know.
And what did you use to make that noise?
Just now?
Yeah.
A baby wipe tub.
Oh, baby wipe.
Yeah, I just popped it open, but it's plastic.
Oh, you popped
plastic.
It open. And
yeah.
And that's what the sound is like.
It's similar, but it sounds more like something is breaking than, you know, opening.
Sounded more like a snapping noise to me.
Yes, exactly.
And you have to, and it's coincident with hitting a bump.
Every time.
Does it make a difference whether the bump is on the left side or the right side?
I haven't noticed that.
Is the sound coming from the left side or the right side?
It's definitely on the left. It seems like it might be like below the steering wheel.
Yeah, here's what it is. I'm going to make something up
for you. Oh, yes.
I could ask a leading question here. Have you bought new tires recently?
Yes, but I almost thought it was doing it before.
But say no.
Okay. No, I haven't, or no, it wasn't doing it before.
Okay. No, it wasn't doing it before.
Okay, okay.
But you have bought new tires.
Yes.
Did you ever have an accident of any kind on the left front? Even though it may have been minor.
Something
you didn't tell your husband about.
And even if it happened
before you
bought the car.
Yeah, it's used, though.
It's so used.
It's conceivable.
Ah.
Well, here's what I think the noise is coming from. It is plastic making the noise. And what your car has, like lots of other cars, is a plastic inner fender liner.
You think so?
I think so. I think that when the suspension gets pushed to its maximum, like hitting a bump or a pothole, but a bump especially, the tire is grabbing that piece of plastic and snapping it. Snap!
Hmm.
And while it could sound like it's coming from the dashboard, I think that's it.
Oh, man.
Come on, Heather.
Yeah, well.
Stick with me here.
I don't know anything.
Wait a minute. Where exactly is the point of contact? At the bottom end?
The tire. No. The tire, about midpoint in the tire, is hitting the fender liner. You know, the fender liner doesn't go all the way to the ground.
No. But where is the tire hitting the fender liner?
Where the fender liner is, where it's sticking out. It's not in place properly. Either
it's
that,
not in place properly.
Yes, it's not. That's why I asked if it had an accident or if some work had been done on the car or if she bought new tires, because sometimes big tires, bigger than the original ones, could cause this kind of impingement. And it was, and it would sound just like the snapping open of the butt wipes container.
Well, I have to say it's a very creative.
Do I get
but any, bogus nonetheless?
Do I get any points for creativity?
You get points for creativity and points for bogosity.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, that's the best I can do for you, Heather.
Okay.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, does it actually sound to you like it's coming from outside the passenger compartment rather than inside the passenger compartment?
I would have said inside.
I thought you would have.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's time to reconsider.
If my brother sent you $20, would you say? Would you think maybe it was?
I mean, you haven't had anyone else. Has anyone else heard this sound?
No. Well, yes, yes. Other people have heard it, but I haven't had a professional look at it.
Yeah. Well, no one's. Yeah.
Well, here's what I would do. I would take it to you know, where your the place where you have your oil changes done.
Okay.
And if he's got a few minutes or she's got a few minutes, mention this whole little story.
Okay.
And ask if they can look to see if there's any place where they think one of the tires, probably the left one, has been hitting the inner fender liner.
Okay.
And you'll be surprised when they say, yep, right here.
I'd be really pleased if that were the case.
Yeah, yeah. I would too.
Well, I have to say, it's an incredibly creative answer.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Great.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
No.
All right, I'll make it easy. You've never had a wife who shared the same blank as you.
Zip code.
Well, that's true, but I was looking for age.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never had one
the
of them.
The puzzler was about a father and a grandfather who were the same age, and we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
You're the mud on my windshield, bitter grounds in my coffee cup. You're the mud on my windshield, bitter grounds in my coffee cup. My river with no water.
And even though public radio listeners wish they could lose an hour of Car Talk instead of an hour of sleep whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hemmer Schlemmer, a unique company that has been providing problem-solving products for 173 years, including the first car repair kit in 1902. Today, their lineup includes an automatic cordless tire inflator, widescreen rear-view mirror, and a 1,000-amp jump starter, each chosen as the best by the Hemmer Schlemmer Institute, their own independent testing organization. Find these and other items at Hemmer.com. Use code NPRCAR to receive $20 off your order.
On NPR's Consider This podcast, we help you make sense of one big story in the news every day, like how to combat disinformation and conspiracy theories, which pose a real threat to democracy, and what life looks like after you're vaccinated, the next phase of do's and don'ts. All that in 15 minutes every weekday. Listen now to Consider This from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Here
you
it
know,
is.
I can't remember this at all.
Really? Oh, it's, I think I named it a cute little puzzler.
Cute little puzzler. Go ahead.
A teacher named Miss Jones asks her third grade class if it's anyone's birthday that day, and to her surprise, even though there are 30-something kids in the class, no one raises a hand. Although little Billy raises his hand and says, I can use the word beautiful twice. Anyway, Miss Jones then asks, well, is there anyone here who has a family member whose birthday it is today? And little Katie raises her hand and says, as a matter of fact, Today is my father's birthday, and it's also my grandfather's birthday. And the teacher says, oh, really? How interesting. Little Katie goes on to say, and they are the same age. Mm-hmm. Teacher says, oh, no, no, Katie, that can't be. And Katie insists, oh, yes, they are the same age. So the question is, can it be? And if so, how? Now, if you start thinking about February 28th and all that, you're barking up the wrong tree. I suppose
really?
That's possible. They're the same age because her father and her grandfather are not related.
Yeah. Well, I knew that right away. But
well, her father is an old geezer who married some young gal
whose father
is the same age as he is.
Sure. It happens to me all the time.
There you go.
I'm the same age as my wife's father.
Yes, I knew you'd get it.
I got it right away. In fact, I didn't even know it was a puzzle. I was trying to figure out, what's
so unusual about that?
Who's not going to know this, I said. Isn't that amazing?
So anyway, who's our winner?
The winner this week is Bill Corbett from Castine, Maine. Really? And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Bill is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, he can get a copy of our new music CD, Car Talk Cartoons.
The CD is tax deductible, right?
Well, you can file it under capital losses of good taste if you want. I don't know.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ann from Sioux City.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Pretty good.
What is it like living in Sioux City, Iowa?
Oh, I like it. It's small enough to be comfortable, and it's big enough to be interesting.
Gee, I thought Boston was Sioux City. Everyone sues everyone in Boston.
No.
Ironically, I'm a legal aid lawyer.
You are?
And I live in Sioux City.
No kidding.
Are you busy?
How big is Sioux City, though? I mean, is it like 500,000 people? No.
150,000. I think it's around 100,000.
100,000. That qualifies as a city, huh?
Yep.
I suppose.
Has its own interstate and everything.
See, I was just reading the other day, I read demographics all the time. The biggest metropolitan area, of course, is...
Los Angeles.
No, that's second.
Mexico City.
First is
Montgomery, Alabama.
New York City, with like 20 million people.
Yeah, it goes all the way to Canada, right?
I don't know. It goes out into the Atlantic.
Well,
is
there any reason
they count the fish.
Ann, you haven't let us get a word in edgewise.
Ann.
Come on.
Ann, are you still in the... All right, what's up, Ann? Tell us your legal or automotive problem.
It's an automotive problem, although I suppose it could turn legal. I have an 84 Renault Fuego, which I dearly love. It has a... Yeah, I know.
Oh, my.
You don't catch any laughs and guffaws from me. I am sympathetic to our listeners and their plights.
Maybe the word hasn't gotten out.
170,000 miles on it.
How many?
170.
What a great car, huh?
Yeah.
It is.
$170,000. Okay, go ahead.
All my miles. I bought it brand new in 84.
Original miles, right.
And
it needs an engine rebuild. And everyone says I am crazy because I want to do it rather than junk the car.
Slap a Chevy 350 in it.
So I have two questions. One is, can Tom give me a rationale for doing it that will...
He can give you
friends and the credit union. And my second question is, was it my fault that it
lasted this long?
Broke down. Lasted this long?
Maybe. Yes, I think we can safely say it's your fault that it lasted this long.
It certainly is. I mean, I think every other Fuego on the planet died at half that many miles. So you're doing something right. And if you like the car, I mean, why shouldn't you rebuild it? It would be nice if you could buy a brand new engine from Renault. That might not be easy to do.
Here's what you do. Is there a French consulate in Sioux City?
Not yet.
No, you can have this rebuild. You probably have the overhead cam engine, right? What is that, a 1.7?
It's a 2.2.
A 2.2. Okay. Well, I don't see any reason not to rebuild it, but you should first find out if the rest of the car justifies rebuilding it. You should have your mechanic check out the entire car, of course, we know the engine is no good, but everything else in the car to see if the car is worthy of a rebuild.
Well, since I'm the original owner, I pretty much have a good idea of what's been done and what...
Well, maybe it's beginning to rust through. If it's beginning to rust through, you don't want to fix it because then you'll have to junk it in, you know, maybe another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and the car has enough miles on it. The things that you have fixed probably need to be fixed again.
How are the seats? How's the interior? Is it really ratty?
No.
It isn't?
The only interior problem is that there's one window handle without the little cap on it.
How's the rubber on the pedals? All worn out?
I don't think so.
Then you should rebuild it. If
absolutely.
The rubber on the pedals is good, rebuild it. I'm with you, Ann. Keep it. You might go for the record. You may even have the record already.
You know what to do? Combine this with a nice little trip to France. Take a little spring vacation. Go to France. Go to a real Renault dealer. Buy an engine and have it shipped right
and
to Sioux City.
See if you can sneak it back in your luggage.
You almost could. You know, you could take it back with you on the plane, check it through, and you're all set. And you're right to do this because it is always a good idea to keep a car that you already have. There's nothing less expensive than the one you already have.
Here's what you do. Call your Jeep dealer if you have one. They can order an engine from you from France. They can order the engine.
That's what you want to do.
It won't get here in your lifetime, but some of your heirs will enjoy it. That's what you should do. Order a brand new engine, and then any ding-a-ling can put it in.
Right. They'll even put it in for you.
Even those ding-a-lings can put it in. And then you'll be in Fat City.
Because
or Sioux City. Thanks for your call, Ann.
Well, thanks for the moral support.
And
see
good
you.
Luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I got a letter for you. This
really?
Actually, it's a letter, and yet it's a puzzler.
I'm ready.
It's from some guy named Bob Levitra from Daytona Beach. Hey, guys. Two cargo ships collide head-on in the middle of the South Pacific. The cargo of the eastbound ship, that would be like this way.
The one heading toward, like, Japan.
Eastbound. No, the one like
oh, that's
headed
toward California.
California.
Right. That's westbound, right.
That's right.
But they call Japan the east.
They do. They're wrong.
It should be the west.
It should be the west. It is the west. The cargo of the eastbound ship has machine parts, hand tools, and 135,000 gallons of red paint.
Got it.
The westbound ship, that's the one going to the east.
Right.
To the far east.
Got it.
The westbound ship going to the far east is loaded with computer parts, electronic testers, and 37,000 gallons of brown paint. Got it? Thanks to superior survival training, not a man or officer was lost, even though both ships split apart and sank to the bottom. The question is, what happened to the survivors before their rescue 3 days later?
Huh?
It's not a clear question, that's all. I'll just give you the answer. They were all
swimming.
Marooned.
Oh.
Isn't that the worst joke you've ever heard?
Well, does it count the two you told us before the show?
I loved it.
They were marooned.
Marooned. Okay.
Well, if you have anything better for my brother, just
you see how desperate I am.
Just send it to Mass Correctional Institute. I mean, send it to Car Talk Plaza. Sorry, I almost gave away your home address there. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email him from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us right now about your car or anything else that's bothering you, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 88-82-27-82-55.
And what was Avogadro's number again?
1.something×10⁻¹⁰.
Oh, okay. What's the area code
1.022 times 10
to the
23rd.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, of course, the number of brain cells that I have.
I hope so. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jim Smythe in Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Where?
Oklahoma.
What was the city?
Tahlequah.
Tahlequah.
Tahlequah. Tahlequah.
No kidding. That is beautiful.
Well, it just kind of flows off.
Just tell me one thing. Is it a fair city or is it good? Just fair, huh?
Yeah, why? Tahlequah, it's a Cherokee name.
Yeah,
it's a great name.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
okay.
It means two is enough.
Two is enough. Well, that's two of us. And
yeah, well.
So
Tahlequah, one is enough.
You don't have much to do besides call us, eh?
No, I just thought I'd call.
Good. What's
I've
happening?
I've got a problem.
Yeah.
And, it's not a problem. It's a puzzler to me.
Well.
And I've never heard of this happening. In Oklahoma, when it rains, we don't get rain. Doesn't go up and down. It's not vertically. When we got rain, we've also got tremendous wind.
Yeah, right. Because so you always have wind in Oklahoma.
Horizontal hailstorms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was driving in my 1988 Nissan pickup, and I was on fumes, absolute fumes, and in a driving rainstorm with a friend. And I thought, my God, I don't want to stop and get gas. It's pouring rain. But I pull into a station with a canopy, and I open the gas tank, and I said, I'm just going to get a couple of bucks worth of gas. I want to get out of here. So I got a couple of dollars worth of gas, and I was in such a big hurry, and the rain was pouring off of the
canopy. I got it. You forgot to put the gas cap on.
Exactly.
Oh, you knucklehead.
Yeah. That's kind of the word that came to his mind. So I leave the gas tank on the pump. And we, with the $2 worth of gas, which isn't very much anymore.
Well, it's now up to $4 worth because it's half full of water.
it runs, and sure. I make it, a good 8-9 miles, I imagine.
Yeah.
Until it just stops. So my friend gets out of the car and walks around and goes, "Here's to me. You got water in your tank." You know? And I thought, yeah, I bet I do. Well, he goes in, walks a quarter mile down the road to a grocery store. Comes back about 15 minutes later, and he says, "I think I know how to fix this." And puts, I swear to you, this is the truth.
I got it.
A handful of mothballs.
A handful of mothballs, huh?
See, and you thought he was just a local yokel.
And I said, don't do that. And he's pushing them down the little smaller hole, you know, where you can't put...
you're saying, don't do that.
Right. You said these unleaded mothballs?
Don't put mothballs in the car. Yeah. Well, he continues to stuff mothballs in the thing. And he says, "I think it'll start now." And I cranked it, and it wouldn't start. And I'm sitting here, and just as I was about to give it up and go for the guy's throat, it starts, and it runs fine.
It does,
it runs perfectly.
Yeah.
And I say, "Well, there was something else wrong." And he goes, "Nope, mothballs do it. That'll fix it." And I guess I ran whatever water was still in the carburetor and the line out, and after I got to the mothball additive, it starts. And now I want to know, should I drain the tank? Have I ruined the engine? Or should we all start keeping mothballs in the glove box instead of like gas treatments?
Well, I just called my wife on the line and told her to go and buy out the local hardware store.
As you know, my brother has a PhD in chemistry from MIT.
Right.
And so tell us, what do mothballs do in a gas tank?
Well, they absorb the water, I think.
See, I guess they do. I have no idea why.
Well, I mean, if you had added alcohol to the gas tank, I mean, you know, like methanol or ethanol, it would have absorbed the water, okay?
Right.
And then you would have burned. You can't burn.
And gasoline commonly.
Right, exactly. I mean, the gasoline can't, the water can't burn, but if it's combined, at least it won't have the same effect as gulping up a big chunk of it and trying to burn that, which makes the thing stop running.
Yeah, I mean, it's not converting the water into a burnable fuel, but it probably is absorbing the water and hopefully sinking to the bottom of the gas tank so that they're not plugging anything up. So the mothballs might still be sitting there if they haven't dissolved by now, but who knows if they dissolve because we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
This is a great question, though, Jim.
Well, I can't believe this guy says, "Well, I've done that for years."
Of course.
But he's the same kind of guy probably that puts water glass in a radiator for a cracked block. You know?
Right. So you don't know. I mean, these are all old farmers' recipes.
Right.
Mm. You know, I'm not so sure that the mothballs do anything. I know they do a heck of a job on sweaters and stuff. But
no, they do something. I mean, there's no question that mothballs do something.
You said you had $2 worth of gas in this?
I was just on fumes.
Oh, you were on fumes? And how much?
So I put $2 worth of gas in. I mean, I couldn't have had more than a gallon and a half of gas.
Well, isn't it possible that you ran out of gas, and when he added the mothballs, what they did is displace some of the gasoline and raise the level up so that then the vehicle was able to run?
Quite a ways. I mean, the lost mothballs would not displace that much gasoline.
No.
How far a ways did you go?
About 7 more miles, 10 more miles.
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely a chemical reaction. I'm going to get right to work on this. I can hardly wait to get to the chemistry library.
First thing tomorrow, I'm running to Pons and Fleischmann, and I'm going to get them right on this. Jim, stay tuned for details, because you'll be hearing the answer to this question in a subsequent show.
Yeah.
I sure will.
Because I am going to look this up.
I sure enjoy your show.
Thanks a lot.
Jim. Tahlequah.
Bye-bye. Hey. Tommy, it's time for us to take a little break.
Do I have time to call my new accountant before we do that?
Yeah, we got a minute. How much time do you need?
I don't know. How long does it take to get through the sink?
Anyway, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
When he talks, I hear the rumbling sound. I can feel him roll the windows down. And soon I'm sitting right next to you.
And even though Julius Caesar clutches his chest and whispers, "Et tu, NPR," whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. At CarMax, the best way to buy a car is your way. Shop on your schedule and choose from over 50,000 CarMax certified vehicles at CarMax.com. Check out 360-degree views, set up a trade-in appraisal, apply for financing, and buy online or in-store with curbside pickup and home delivery in select markets. Get all the details and start the search for your next car today at CarMax.com.
Hearing loss is a fact of life for many humans, but not for fish, reptiles, or birds.
People noticed in chickens that they could take them to, say, a heavy metal concert, blast the ears really to oblivion, and then within days, new hair cells would begin to sprout.
The science of sound. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. Now, I have several potential new puzzlers.
Oh, and you haven't actually decided yet?
PNPs.
You're going to do it right here live on National Public Radio. You're going to take out the two or three that are in contention, so to speak, and you're going to just decide right now. And what are we supposed to do in the meantime? We're supposed to just sit here and stick our fingers in our ears?
Yeah, like you usually do. Well, I tried a couple on the staff. They didn't get any of them, so I'm going to try this one, which I didn't try in them. Because I like this one the best. This is a non-automotive puzzler.
All right.
This was sent from someplace on Alpha Centauri by Dave Etnoyer. Oh, here it is. A farmer had a 40-pound stone which he could use to weigh 40 pounds of feed. He would sell feed in 40-pound or bales of hay or whatever. So he had a balance scale. He put the stone on one side.
Balance beam, yeah.
And he'd pile the other side with feed or hay when it balanced. Boom, that's it.
Another one of these.
Well, this is interesting.
Yeah, okay. I like it already.
Don't start with the liking it. I don't want to hear you like it. I'm sick of that.
I don't want to build up your hopes. But I do like it so far.
A neighbor borrows...
The fact that it's a stone and it weighs exactly 40 pounds.
It does.
I find that interesting.
Well, you have to chip off pieces.
Make the stone.
You have to chip off
you
pieces.
Or you go to Brookstone and you say, Brookstone, I'd like a 40-pound stone.
Well, who else would you buy it from? Brookstone, right?
You deliver.
You go into the brook, you pick out a stone.
I just want to tick off the UPS guy. Well, he has to deliver it.
Can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's bad enough to interfere to this extent.
Did I interrupt?
Then you screw up the puzzler. You interfere with the very nature of it, and then you have the audacity the next week.
All right, no, this is serious. The puzzler is the only serious part of the show.
Okay. A neighbor borrows the stone, but he had to apologize when he returned it broken into 4 pieces.
Oh.
The farmer who owned the stone later told the neighbor that he actually had done him a favor.
Yeah.
The pieces of the broken stone could now be used to weigh any item, assuming those items were in 1-pound increments, from 1 pound
to 40.
To 40.
Or 41. How about that? Now that's that would be a puzzle.
That would be good.
Yeah.
What were the weights of the four individual stones? Okay. So if you want to weigh 1 pound, 6 pounds, 11 pounds, 22 pounds, 39 pounds.
Wow.
How would you use the stones, the thing you're weighing, and the balance beam? And how would, right? Remember that. Ooh. And here's the hint. How would you weigh 2 pounds? That's the question. I could give a further hint.
Don't. No, but that's great.
Yeah, till next week. Next week, it'll be in the doghouse. If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a... I need these $20 bills.
I know you do.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email us your answer on a $20 bill by visiting cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Achala Chatterjee.
Oh, wait.
Wow. You have to spell it.
Okay, my name is Achala, A-C-H-A-L-A.
C-H-A-C-H-A-L-A. Achala.
I got that.
Last name is Chatterjee, C-H-A-T-T.
E-R-G-A-E-E.
Right, like in Chatterbox.
I know Chatterjee. Achala Chatterjee. Excellent.
Achala.
Wonderful name.
Thank you. I called because I thought I could meet Arup Gupta.
Well, Achala's pretty nice.
Achala Chatterjee is pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you.
He's very nice.
And where are you from, Achala?
I'm from two places. I work in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
But my husband lives in Riverside, California.
That's interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you find that this cuts down on marital squabbles?
It sure does. It sure does help.
But how do you manage?
Is he in some kind of federal penitentiary? Or you say he's working. What is he doing, making license plates?
No, I work for the Army.
He works for the Army.
No, I work,
oh, you work for the Army. Army.
I work for the Army.
So your actual home is Riverside, California.
Well, kind of.
Oh, so you're engaged in, like, biological warfare things in
Huntsville. We're not.
No?
We make missiles in Huntsville.
Oh, missiles. Oh, that's all right. Yeah, anyway, I'm sure you called with some serious automotive problem.
I have a 95 Toyota Avalon. Yeah.
Nice car.
And it's a real nice car, but my husband gets to use it because it's in Riverside,
it's in
California.
Riverside. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have a house in Riverside, California, too, that has a real steep driveway.
Yeah.
So when we leave the garage and go up the driveway, the bottom of the car kind of scrapes on the driveway.
Yeah.
And my husband has perfected this, kind of semi-perfected a technique where he'll make a sharp right turn right at the top.
Yeah.
And then about 90% of the time he doesn't scrape it. I almost always scrape it at the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, eventually what's being scraped will get scraped off.
It will be gone.
It won't hit anymore. I mean, what could be hitting? There's not much back there. The muffler, the tailpipe. It's part of the exhaust system that's hitting, or maybe even the bumper.
It's the exhaust system that's hitting, I think.
Don't even worry about it.
Not worry about it?
Duh.
I thought I could put a bigger tire on it or put something that'll make my car rise up or something.
Jeez. I mean, first of all, you really shouldn't worry about it. But if you are concerned about it, I would have one person stand at the end of the driveway while the other person backs the car up so you can precisely determine what it is that's hitting.
Okay.
And then take a hammer and put a professional-type dent into this thing so that it will no longer hit, and then forget about it completely.
Well, it may be that a large part of the muffler is hitting, in which case you've got to do something.
Well, if it's a really steep thing, I would think that something at the very back of the car is what's hitting, and the thing that's the most furthest is the furthest back in the car is the end of the tailpipe. And then hardly more.
But that's not the piece closest to the ground. The tailpipe was out of the middle of the muffler. The piece closest to the ground is the body of the muffler itself, and that's what's hitting. You can try to cave that in with some scientific blows.
Would that affect working of the muffler?
Not really. I mean, you're doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't
I mean,
there something less drastic?
Well, you know, back in the old days when cars had like normal suspensions, you could put in load leveler shocks, which had an extra coil spring, and you could raise the butt end up. You could put in air shocks. You could put in what are those dubers that we used to stick in the springs when the springs were collapsed?
Yeah.
Spring savers or whatever.
Spacers.
Spacers.
Yeah.
But you can't do any of that to this car, really.
No. I mean, you could put a larger tire on it.
That's your only hope.
But it won't. Yeah, well, but then the tires will probably start hitting the fender well.
So here's the solution. Why we're talking about
We're talking about
smashing in the car.
You're going to smash in the driveway.
Beat up the driveway.
Exactly what I just concluded.
Yeah.
Get a sledgehammer.
Find out that spot in the driveway that's constantly being hit, and you've got to make a little gully there.
Driving my car? My neighbor would be mad at me.
What? It's your driveway.
The driveway. No.
Oh, you share the driveway?
Share the driveway.
We share the driveway.
Oh, you'll then you'll have to do it at night. Yeah, whenever there's a risk of ticking off a neighbor, you always have to do it in the darkness.
Well, another thing you could do is you could put a little ramp back there so that the tires go up on the ramp on the way out. And therefore, whatever is hitting won't hit anymore because it'll be higher. I like this idea.
So I buy some ramps to put on the driveway?
We need a picture of the driveway.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll send you the picture.
And preferably a picture with the car just hitting. A close-up of whatever it is that's hitting. And we'll come back with a detailed drawing explaining how to fix it.
Okay, I'll do that.
This
is
a new service that we provide here. On the show, as of...
We don't know what to call it yet, but
right now.
We're providing it.
Okay, I'll mail those to you as soon as I get to Riverside.
All right. See you, Achula.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Achula Chatterjee.
Beautiful.
Wow.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Patrick from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Patrick.
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Well, I am part of a team who is building a vehicle for the Portland Adult Soapbox Derby. And
there's an adult soapbox derby?
Yeah. And we're trying to build a vehicle that, or find some way to reduce drag in the corners and either maintain speed or pick up speed in these incredibly twisting corners. Right now, we're leaning towards three wheels, but we're wondering, like, what is the best way to reduce drag? And either
reduce the number of wheels.
Really?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, wheels are a drag, man. These are gravity powered cars.
Yes.
Basically, crates.
They're not crates. They're some of them are made out of steel and welded, pretty seriously welded cars.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so these, how big are they?
Well, they can't be wider than 3 feet, but the length is up to the competitor.
3 feet.
And how long? It's obviously a downhill race.
Yes, it is.
And how long a race is it?
Let's see. I think if you can get down in just over 2 minutes, you're doing great.
Oh, so it's like a mile.
Yeah, top speed is about 45 miles an hour.
And you're calling us for advice?
Well, yeah, because you guys, you know, you've
yeah, don't go there.
Engineer experience, you know.
But how many curves do you have to negotiate?
There's about four or five. The last one is a huge, sweeping 180-degree turn.
Ah, geez, that's a problem.
So you could be hitting this 180-degree curve at 45 miles an hour?
Exactly. And if you want to win the race, see,
you
can't brake in that corner either. I mean, the people who brake in that corner lose speed immediately.
Yeah, and they lose control, too.
Yeah, exactly.
How many soapboxes are there on the other side of the cliff?
Jeez.
I mean, has anyone ever gone over?
There have been a couple of people, I think, who have gone over. Yeah. Actually, one of the organizers, I think, when he raced one time, he went over.
Is this race held every year?
Yes, it's held every summer.
Any chance you can talk to the guy who won last year's race?
Well, wait a minute. I just had a brilliant idea.
Inspiration?
Inspiration. Well,
this is going to be wacko, but...
Since everything depends on this wide, sweeping 180-degree turn,
yes.
Does it turn to the right or to the left?
It turns to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you working
on? Here it is.
Okay.
You put two small wheels on the right side of the car, two big ones on the left side. Huh? Do you see it now? So
wow.
The thing is permanently tilted to the right. So you can take that turn at 80 miles an hour, man. I'll bet you no one's ever tried it.
That is a great idea.
Isn't it?
So do you think we could somehow do that with three wheels?
Well, I'm working on it.
You have to have at least three. You can't do two, huh?
No, it has to be at least three wheels. It
has to be at least three. But do they all have to be on the ground at the same time?
I don't think I don't think that's in the rules.
It may not be.
You could have a two-wheel vehicle. Oh, it can only be 3 feet wide.
Yes.
I got it. It's like a bicycle with training wheels.
No, I mean, I can see a third wheel, which moves from one side of the car to the other.
No kidding.
I don't know.
That is incredible.
Sweeps around the back, right? Depending upon whether you're making a bank to the right or a bank to the left. So as you turn the wheel, this other wheel moves from side to side.
You've got it.
To stabilize.
You've got it.
That's excellent.
So that when you make a right hand, when you're doing this right hand turn, the wheel, which had been behind you, is now over your left shoulder.
That is incredible. Now, there's
do you guys things. Have? Is there gonna be a doctor on hand when these cars are? Are the EMTs gonna be there?
Oh, always, every year.
Of
there
course.
Are EMTs there. Yeah.
I think we have something here.
Now there's gonna be three guys riding this thing.
Oh, so you got like a pilot, a navigator, and a gunner.
It's like a bobsled team. They're one behind the other.
Wow. I can see.
Well, the guy in the back can face backwards, and he can work the tiller.
Oh, that is so good.
I think so.
That is so incredible.
Patrick, you're going to win this race, and all we want is half the money.
There's no money.
No, there's the only thing you get in this race is bragging rights at Beulah Land.
Oh.
Well, we need photographs. We need video. We need the hospital reports. We need everything.
Yeah, this sounds... When is the race?
The race is going to be happening in August.
Jeez, keep us posted, will you?
Yeah.
I'm dying to see what you come up with.
I think this wheel in the wheel in the back that goes back and forth, I think...
That could be the breakthrough of the decade.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that because we really try to be on the cutting edge of the design.
Yeah, well,
you're going to be the cutting edge,
all right.
Yeah. Well, Patrick.
The best of luck.
Best of luck, and try not to get hurt.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Provence, Prune Prozac, and Praline Pro-Am, is John Bugsy Loose Lips Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzov. Our Russian downsizing manager is Yuri Placeable. And our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our staff auditor is Euripides Aripatos. Our staff intern is Ansel Defone. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our male midlife crisis manager is Ivana Red Tudor. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the buddy rich wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't forget, don't drive like Rainy.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our Taste Challenge clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, spring is in the air, birds chirping in the trees, crocuses blooming in the yard, oil leaking down the driveway. If it's time to upgrade your car, donate your old car to your favorite public radio station. They'll turn it into more of the programs you love, and you can get back to springing without the leaks. Turn your car into the programs you love in minutes. You can start right now at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though butchers everywhere cast sideways glances at their meat cleavers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.